Welcome to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. In this message from 2 Peter chapter 3, we're reminded that the Christian life doesn't end at salvation. It's a lifelong pursuit of knowing Christ more. Knowing in grace means trusting God's work in us, not striving in our own strength. When grace shapes our view of God and our relationships, real transformation takes place. Here is Pastor Gary Walton.
I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter 3:18 this morning. In fact, I'm going to read verse 17, and then we'll back up a little bit into the chapter and then get to verse 18. So verse 17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before," and stop there just for a minute, because I think we have to ask anytime it says something like this, we have to say, what were these things? We have to understand, what are these things that we should know? And I'll back you up to a few verses in chapter 3, starting in verse 3. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." All right, so first of all, he said there's going to come a time when there'll be scoffers and they're going to say, hey, Jesus said he was coming back. Where is he? Verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day." He says, listen, God's timing is not our timing. Eternal timing is on a way different scale than our view of the years and centuries and millennium. For God, one day is like 1,000 years. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but the reason that he is waiting is that he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The reason that Jesus has waited so long for the return of his son is because he's waiting. He's waiting. He doesn't want anyone to perish. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" All right, so that's the background. These are the things, seeing that you understand these things, that God is waiting, he's patiently waiting, but he is going to come back, and when he does, the earth will be dissolved, and there's a great day of accounting. So in light of that, what kind of people should the people of God be? Verse 11 says that we would be ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. That's what brings us to verse 17. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." All right, so be careful, Christian. Be wary that in the time that Jesus is waiting to come back, that you don't lose sight and you don't lose hope. Beware that you would not, by the error of the wicked, that you would fall from your own steadfastness. Instead, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Very simple. What do we need to know about 3:18, 2 Peter 3:18? Here it is, that you and I are challenged to be growing in grace. And the question that we're going to ask this morning is, how do we do that? How do we do this thing in light of the fact that all of the earth that God is waiting to come back, and there will be a day when there'll be an accounting. And because of that, we're supposed to continue to walk in holiness and righteousness. And he calls us to grow in grace. So the question that I want to ask this morning is how do we do that? And we're going to talk about two ways that are very practical, I hope very simple, but they're incredibly important that 2 Peter 3:18 points us to. Here's the first one. I think the passage tells us first, theologically, that grace is not only connected with your salvation, it is absolutely critical to your sanctification. All right, so first of all, let's make sure that we understand these terms. So salvation means this. The root word is saved or rescued. It can be used secularly, although most of the time when we use this word, we use it in a religious sense, a spiritual sense. But it means, if you just take it out of the dictionary, it means preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. We could actually use this term about something secular. If you were drowning and you were rescued, we could say that at that moment that you were rescued from drowning, you received your salvation. All right, that would be a legitimate use of this word secularly. It means deliverance. But of course, we know it means more than that to the Christian. And so we're going to ask, so what is the deliverance? The word actually means deliverance. What's it mean in light of our spiritual lives? And so we define it this way. Well, it means deliverance from sin and its consequences, and it's brought about by faith in Christ. I would maybe define it in this way, a little bit more of a practical definition. So salvation is the point in someone's life when a sinner is completely forgiven of their sin and its consequences, rescued from a meaningless life, and adopted into the family of God. We said that salvation and sanctification, let's talk about this term and then we'll define the difference between the two. Again, the root word of sanctification is saint or sanctified. You might have heard it in that way. It's the becoming of a saint. In light of Jesus Christ, you are now a saint, and there will be a time in eternity when we will be sanctified. Becomes whole and complete and perfected in eternity. But the sanctification that the Bible talks about is this process after our salvation where spiritual growth and maturity in our life is taking place, and we're becoming less characterized by sin in this world and more characterized by Jesus Christ. Grace is not only just connected with your salvation. It is absolutely critical to your sanctification, your continued growth in Christ, and your growth in spiritual things. So here's what I want to tell you. A lot of us have a handle on the salvation part. We understand Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." All right, so we have this clear teaching in the Bible that our salvation, the basis of our forgiveness in Jesus Christ, is totally and completely based on grace and not on our works. There's nothing that you or I can do to earn salvation. It is a gift of God. The only thing that we do or can do is accept the gift. We can't earn it. In a lot of religion, we sort of have the idea that our salvation, our relationship with God, is based on whether I'm good enough to somehow earn God's favor. So what the Bible says is salvation's not like that. It's not something that you can earn. It's not something we get just because we, you know, maybe have done less bad things and more good things. The Bible says salvation is all about grace. It's a gift of God, and we either accept Jesus' gift of forgiveness or we reject it. And every person alive has that opportunity. We have the opportunity to accept the gift of salvation. So a lot of us understand grace in terms of salvation. But I think sometimes that's as far as our grace understanding goes. And we don't understand that this verse is not talking about your salvation experience. Sort of the idea that once you've become a Christian, then you're done with grace. I mean, we can be thankful for grace because it impacted my salvation, but it really doesn't affect me day to day anymore. But that's not what this verse is teaching us. Grow is one of those verbs that you find in the Bible that has a tense of continuing action. We're supposed to keep continuing to grow in this grace as it relates to our sanctification or our continued growth in our likeness to Jesus Christ. And grace is going to be just as much a part of our spiritual life after salvation as it was in the point of our salvation. So this idea of this continuing process of growing as a Christian is very, very critical. If we stop growing as a Christian, we're going to find our life slowly, our Christian life slowly fading and falling. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation, but you can clearly lose the joy of your salvation. God calls us to continue to grow in grace. The Christian life is like riding a bicycle. Unless you keep moving, you're going to fall off. It's true. And some of you have experienced this. You're a Christian. You've come to the point of salvation. Your relationship with God is clear. But you've stopped moving at all in your spiritual life. There's no growth. There's no change. And when that happens, then we're just going through the motion. We can sort of kind of keep our balance for a while, but eventually we're always going to fall. There's an interesting passage in the book of Galatians. In fact, I'm going to have you turn back to there, would you? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says this, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." I mean, he says it multiple times in one verse that we are not justified by works, we are justified by faith. Works cannot help us in this salvation. This is what he's talking about. Justification, our salvation. It's not about works, it's only about faith. Look down at verse 21. "I do not frustrate the grace," there's our word, that's why we're coming to this text. "I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain." All right, we're not going to frustrate God's grace. Righteousness only comes by faith, not by law. Look down at verse 2 of chapter 3. "This only would I learn of you." Your translation might say, "Here's the question that I want to ask you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" The answer is what? Faith, right? I mean, you just said that. You can't receive the Spirit. You can't have salvation by works. It is only by grace. It's only by faith. So did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The answer is by faith. Then he says this, verse 3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" He said, that doesn't make sense. If we all understand that salvation is by grace and not by works, if we know that we receive the Spirit by grace and by faith, not by our works, why would we think that our sanctification, our growth in Christ would be any different? If we received Christ by grace through faith, then the rest of our Christian life is going to follow along. It's going to be by grace and by faith. You say, well, so what's the big deal? Here's why this is so important. Growing in faith, growing in Christ, will never happen by your own personal effort. If you just try harder to be a better Christian, it will never work that way. If you just try harder to have more grace and to treat people with more grace, you're going to find out that you're going to fail. You say, man, I get so angry. I know that God's not pleased when I get angry, so I've got to stop getting angry, and I try and I try and I try. I'm going to stop being angry. Or I have this habit, and I know that God is not pleased with this, and I know that I'm disappointing Him. Maybe these words keep coming out of my mouth when I get all upset, and I know I shouldn't say words like that, and I'm trying and I'm trying and I'm trying. Or I've been struggling with my thought life, and maybe I'm battling pornography that sort of gripped my heart and gripped my life, and I've been trying because I know not only is God not pleased with it, but it just wrecks everything inside of me, and I do not want to be enslaved to that, and I've been trying, I keep trying. But the Bible is saying that it's not going to happen by your effort and by your works. It's not going to happen by trying harder that you grow in your faith. You want to know what grows out of trying harder? Guilt and shame and failure spring out of your effort to do better and to try harder. Because it'll never be enough. You can never do enough. Because every time you reach that place, let's say you decide, you know, today, man, I need to be more, I want to be more disciplined in my life. And so this week I'm going to try and I'm going to be more disciplined. So I put these things in place and I try and I fail and I'm so discouraged. But at the end of the week, I'm actually a little bit more disciplined than I was last week. Guess where you're going to be then? I want to be more disciplined. This is how it is in the human journey. This is the point of the law and the grace discussion. Galatians says that the law was our schoolmaster. It was our teacher. What did it teach us? It taught us that you can never do enough. I mean, the Jewish people did all kinds of crazy things. They developed these amazing accoutrements to their faith, this complicated process of things that they did and they didn't do, that it was just bizarre. You read some of the Jewish traditions that happened that came out of some of these things. They were trying to fulfill the law, but no matter how hard they tried, they never felt like it was enough. I want to tell you this morning that this is why we need Jesus. That's why we need His grace. If you believe that the success of your Christianity is going to be defined by your works, all of the things that you do or don't do, without relying on the internal changing of the work of grace and the Holy Spirit in your life, either one of two things will happen. Either you will be habitually ashamed and disappointed because of your failure, or you may succeed and become an arrogant, self-righteous a blowhard that everyone despises. What the Bible tells us is that here's what we're called to do. We're to cultivate our belief, our love, and our zeal for Jesus. Cultivate our passion for His Word and abiding in the Spirit and our growing understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And then when we cultivate our love for God and for His Word and for Jesus Christ and His grace, then God will do His work of changing in your life. You're going to find out that the internal motivation of the Holy Spirit's work in your life, rather than some sort of self-help, self-discipline, external effort, the work of the Holy Spirit then will change you from the inside out. That's exactly what Galatians says. That's exactly what this is talking about in 1 Peter 3:18. Listen, you can't grow. It does not say grow in your efforts to try to be a Christian, a better Christian. It says, listen, I need you to grow in grace. Listen, this might shock you, but God is not going to love you any more or less if you sin or don't sin. God's going to love you the same. Now, your fellowship is impacted by our sin. We don't have time to talk about that. Our fellowship with God is impacted by our sin, but not God's love for you. If you're a believer, you are a believer through Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with you. God sees you through Jesus Christ with the robes of Christ's righteousness. He always sees you the same. And so the only thing that will happen by you trying and trying and trying and trying and trying to be a better person by your self-motivating skills is that you're just going to discourage yourself. And I've watched it happen in way, way too many Christians. We're going to have to do some more thinking on this. Let me just mention these things quickly. Grace is not only connected with your salvation, it is absolutely critical to your sanctification. And all right, here's the second thing we need to know about grace in 2 Peter 3:18. So not only theologically, but personally, growing in grace affects two areas. Number one, it affects your understanding of God and His work in your life. That's what we're talking about right here. Listen, you ought to make it your goal to understand God in light of this idea of grace. Number two, it affects every relationship and interaction in your life. So the idea is this. When this vertical relationship is right, then that overwhelming sense of being impacted by the grace of God in my life leaves me so broken and so thankful that the result is that out of my life flows grace to all the other people in my life. If we get it, if we understand the vertical, then the outflow of that is going to be in the horizontal to all the people around us. The big idea, if we can put this all together for you, is this, that understanding grace will change you. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your demeanor. It'll change how you look at life. If you struggle with your grace face, if you tend to have more of a no face, if you tend to be more critical and judgmental, the answer to that is grace. It's understanding God's grace in your life. It's a theological foundation. It's central to the New Testament. You have to get this, that you're not going to understand grace in your relationship to God. If you don't understand that, then you won't understand grace in your horizontal relationships with others. I want to just tell you one more thing, then we're going to be done. Who wrote this verse that we've been studying this morning out of Peter? Who wrote that? Peter. I might suggest to you that no one knew this better than Peter. You might remember that Peter had a history of blowing it. Peter had a history of failure. I mean, right from the very beginning, Peter was in his boat, and Jesus is teaching, and he says to Peter, hey, listen, Peter, put your nets out. You remember that story? And Peter responds with this skeptical, sarcastic answer, at least that's the way I read it. He says, hey, we've been working all night and we've caught nothing. We have fished all night, but you know, because you say it, we'll do it. And then he had a lot of fish come in there, but that, Peter's like, come on, man, we've been out here all night. Do you remember the time that Peter was talking to Jesus and kind of arguing with him? And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. How'd you like that on your resume? Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. And I bet you Peter felt low. Remember at the crucifixion, Peter protested that he would never deny Christ. Even if I have to die, I will never deny Jesus Christ. But we know that what happened within just a few hours of that time. And that wasn't the last time that Peter would fall on his face. I mean, Peter, he's just got a habit of doing this over and over. But you know, in Acts chapter 2, guess who it was that was standing in front of all the disciples, in front of this multitude of people? He was the spokesman for Jesus Christ and his message on the day of Pentecost. Who was that? That was Peter. You say, are you kidding me? All we hear about Peter is failure. He just kept messing up. He just kept doing the wrong thing. He just kept saying the wrong thing. And Peter calls God, he says, he is the God of all grace. I don't deserve it. But I am a living testimony to this fact that he is the God of all grace. Some of you here, you may not yet be a Christian. And the reason that you're not a Christian is that you've been thinking all along that you had to somehow earn God's favor. You had to somehow earn God's grace. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to invite you to accept, to receive the gift of God's salvation. Some of you here, you've been struggling with failure. You're a Christian, and you've been trying and trying. And I don't want to oversimplify things, but for some of you, the problem just might be that you've been thinking that you had to do certain things in order to win God's favor. And listen, that kind of motivation, that just never works. It's not worked for you. And what you need to start doing is you need to start growing in grace. And I would just start asking you to start asking God to help you see him in his grace. Start reading your Bible, just looking for grace. Every time you see it, write it down in a journal. Write down, what am I learning about God's grace? Start passionately pursuing, loving, and worshiping, and learning about God. And I assure you that if you do that, God will change you. That's called growing in grace.
Thanks for listening to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton. Pacific Hope is a production of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Family Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Harvest Baptist Church, visit hbcguam.org. To learn more about Harvest Family Radio or Pacific Hope, visit khmg.org. Harvest Ministries is located on Guam and exists to help people develop a heart for God. It is our hope that this message has played a part in doing just that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of Pacific Hope.